Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Many women struggle to access quality menopause care. The access gap is real. Women often wait months to see a specialist, face a lack of local care, or feel dismissed when seeking treatment, all while insurance may refuse to cover hormone replacement therapy, or HRT. The challenge has never been the medicine itself. It's been getting effective treatment into women's hands. That's where Muesli comes in. As a licensed telehealth brand, Muesli connects patients with board-certified doctors who review medical histories and prescribe personalized treatments 100% online with medications delivered directly to your door. Muesli's menopause lineup includes a variety of HRT options tailored to individual needs and preferences, including the estrogen pill, the estrogen cream, and the progesterone pill, making bioidentical, physician-guided menopause care simple and accessible. Because menopause treatment is about long-term whole-body health, patients can also message their dedicated doctor directly through the Muesli app for ongoing guidance and support throughout their treatment journey. Receive an exclusive 25% off your first order with code PODCAST25. Visit Muesli.com or download the Muesli app to start your menopause treatment plan today.
Colts rookie round one tight end Tyler Warren had more fantasy points, more yards as well than Colson Loveland. And yet, he goes behind him in fantasy drafts. Fourth in receiving yards among round one rookie tight ends dated back to 2000 is where you will find Tyler Warren's 2025 season, behind only Brock Bowers, Kyle Pitts, and Jeremy Shockey. And yet, I have him as tight end seven in my fantasy rankings for the 2025 season. What is this? What's with the disrespect for Tyler Warren? We're going to talk about that today. Welcome to Beyond the Box Score, rolling out a lot of player profiles for you to get you ready for draft season. So if it's your first time here, if this is your millionth time here, thank you for being here. Please like the video. Please subscribe if you have not. All that good stuff goes a long way and helps keep the lights on here as we keep pumping out these videos that are, I'm intending to make them 10 minutes long. They keep being too long, but we're going to make this one quick and easy for sure. All right, hang in here with me. Tyler Warren comes out hot, and some of us are putting some irresponsible tweets online. I don't want to point any fingers, but they were out there. You know, look at this. Through five NFL games, PPR points, 66.5, Brock Bowers, 66.3, Tyler Warren. Yards per out run, 2.27, Brock Bowers, 2.26, Tyler Warren. We like to have fun with small sample sizes. Get a little carried away. 7 for 76. Through the air for Tyler Warren in his first NFL game on 9 targets, goes on to have double-digit fantasy points in 6 of his first 7 games. And then, wow, really the floor, the ceiling, everything just fell out. The whole house fell apart here at the end of the season. 5 straight games of double-digit fantasy points, no more than 11 over the past or the final like month and a half there. Pretty rough stuff. Obviously a lot of context coming into play here with the end of the season numbers for the Colts, and Warren was not immune. So where are we at with him now? I think he's a really interesting player to think about. I think he goes a little under the radar because he doesn't have a lot of the flashy, clear, like special type of traits that a Colson Loveland does. I know I fall into the trap of comparing him to Loveland and even comparing him to Harold Fannin Jr. And I think as a result, underappreciating this guy a little bit, because I think he's really good. I went back and watched all of his targets, from his rookie season to just really try to hone in on him specifically and isolate what he did, what he flashed, and think about what he could be, and not compare him to these other rookie tight ends. And after watching it, I think he really is one of the best tight ends in the league, probably top eight at this point already. Maybe top three or so in terms of just tracking and catching the football. And then he's also really good with the ball in his hand. So the stats I have on that per the Fantasy Points data suite, yards after contact per reception. I prefer this to yards after catch. I think yards after catch is a fine stat, especially over a large sample size, like multiple years. But I think it has a lot to do with quarterback play, with offensive design, and especially in, you know, this Colts design last year, Shane Steichen was freaking cooking. And Warren was kind of an afterthought for defenses. I think they had a lot more to worry about. And so there were a lot of plays where Warren had a lot of space to get build-up speed and create yards after the catch. I like yards after contact. So yards after contact per reception, you'll see Tucker Kraft at the freaking top. No one's even close. Like, he's the god of this stat. 3.6 yards after contact per reception. It was 3.8 the year before, 2024. He's so good. Warren's rate is like half of that, which is where you find good tight ends in this stat. So he comes in at 1.86. Colston Loveland is at 1.95. I think this is actually a strength of his as a rookie, which was interesting to see because it wasn't something that was touted coming out of college as a strength of his. But I think he's pretty dang good with the ball in his hands. Harold Fannin is at 2.31, which is actually basically if within a reasonable sample size of receptions, that's second to Kraft, and it's pretty much just Kraft and then him and then everybody else. So I just wanted to point that out, that in this stat he looks good for sure. Yards after the catch, he looks even better. I think that showed up in his rookie season. That was a way he was used at Penn State a lot. They really designed a lot of stuff to Warren, and the Colts did the same thing. Makes sense. They drafted him 14th overall. But yeah, in terms of the traits that showed up on film, he was good with the ball in his hands. I don't think he's a great route runner yet. I don't think his movement skills are what you might expect for a player who's drafted as high as Tyler Warren was and who gets the type of targets that he does. I don't think he's somebody who's going to create a lot of separation as a route runner, but I don't think he needs to because he's so good at bringing in contested targets. And then when he has the ball in his hands, he's a load to bring down, especially if he has a little bit of space to get that build-up speed going. Okay, so I want to give you some comparisons. Like I said, fourth in receiving yards among round one rookies dating back to 2000. So here is that group. I'm going to sort it by fantasy points per game. And there are just six of them who averaged double-digit fantasy points per game. It's pretty rare. It's pretty impressive to come in and do this as a rookie. And I do just want to keep that in mind with Warren, because I think because we had such good rookie seasons from the tight ends last year, what he did almost kind of flies under the radar a little bit. But like, look at him compared to some of the other rookie tight ends here. This next group is just more recent, so it's the past 10 years, not dating all the way back to 2000. And it's just any tight end season aged 23 or aged under the age of 24. And so Warren came in as an old tight end, and I do think that's relevant for sure. Like, he's much older than Harold Fannin Jr. So comparing the two is interesting to think about, like, that Fannin has two more years to get to the point that Warren's at now in terms of his development, and they're already producing similarly. I think that's really interesting. I actually do have Fannin ranked ahead of him for redraft and dynasty, which is a little scary because Warren is like the clear prototype in terms of tight end size and everything you want. He has the draft capital and everything, but I just really do think that Fannin is a special player. But again, we're here to talk about Warren today. I can't help myself. I want to compare him to Trey McBride because you'll see here his rookie season compares very similar to McBride's 2023 season. So that was the second year for Trey McBride. McBride doesn't have the draft capital that Warren does, but they are similar in a number of ways. Almost identical number of targets between these two seasons. 20% target share for McBride, 21% for Tyler Warren. Very similar production overall. Low touchdown numbers, but lots of receptions, lots of yards, and it is 11 PPR points for McBride per game, 10.7 per game. 10.7 per game for McBride, 11 for Warren. And then we see McBride go on to, you know, really erupt later on in his career. Could something like that happen for Warren? I'm not sure. I think if you look at their collegiate data, McBride looks like the player who has more upside. And so why I say that is he showed elite target earning across multiple seasons, two different seasons with Colorado State, that wasn't boosted by screens. And he also had really high yard per route run rates in both of those seasons. Warren had just one season that he had the really good production, and it was his fifth season. And so you'll see that here. He had just 422 yards in his fourth season, 123 yards in his third season. He had five seasons at Penn State. And his yard per out run rates in those seasons weren't good. It wasn't until his fifth season that he breaks out 2.94 yards per out run on a 32% target per out run rate. Those are both really, really strong numbers. If you look at collegiate data, that's, I mean, these are tight ends who were drafted day two or day one. And it's just sorted by receiving yards. And you see Warren has the most of any of these guys. This dates back to 2017, behind only Harold Fannin Jr. In this Penn State season. And you look at the yard per out run rates, it's really, really good. It puts him up here in the same range as some of the best tight ends that we've seen come into the NFL recently among day one or day two picks. But there is some context that's needed, I think, with that production for sure. And when you do give the screen context, it tells an interesting story when comparing Warren and McBride. And I think that it does speak to the upside that McBride has. So if we add screens, it was twice as many screen targets for Warren compared to McBride. And if you take screens away, it's 2.65 yards per route run for Tyler Warren on a 28% target per route run rate. If you take screens away from McBride, his numbers stay pretty much the same. 30% target per route run rate, 2.9 yards per route run. And so I do think what we've seen from McBride at the NFL level, where he's become like the center point of an offense and really pushed his target shares up into this unusually high range for a tight end, is I would be very surprised if that's what we get from Warren. I don't know if he has the movement skills to consistently get open in a way where an offense is going to want to center the target distribution around him. He had a 22% first read target rate as a rookie, which is relatively high for the tight end position, but it's nowhere near like Trey McBride's 30%+ rate. That's really, really unique for a tight end. And I do think the Warren might need something like that, unless he gets in a truly elite offense where he can just pile up like tons and tons of touchdowns or something. I think he might need that type of target upside to challenge the top players at the position. So I don't think he quite has the McBride top range of outcomes available to him. The players who I think he profiles the most similarly to, as I've been digging into some of the, you know, historic collegiate and rookie season data, are TJ Hawkinson and Sam Laporta, among recent tight ends at least. Those two popped up as pretty similar. They don't win in quite the same way. I don't think that, especially I don't think Hawkinson is quite as good with the ball in his hands as Warren. I think he does more of his work before the catch. But they are players who have shown an ability to get up into that 20% or even north of 20% target share, which is pretty rare at tight end. And I do think people forget that Hawkinson was picked eighth overall because he hasn't been as productive late into his career. But there were a couple seasons over 900 yards. Like, he really had some... He's I think, the best case outcome for a player who maybe doesn't have the elite upside to get a lot of downfield or explosive plays at the position and create like kind of unique yardage upside, like I think Colson Loveland or maybe Harold Fannin Jr. could do. I think for a player like Hawkinson who might not have that, you have to either get a ton of touchdowns or just get like a ton of targets in a really good offense or something like that. And that's kind of like McBride is the very best that we've seen recently. And I think, and then there's a drop off to like Hawkinson. And I think Warren belongs in that range too. And so that if everything works out for him throughout his career, like that could be a really valuable player for fantasy year over year for dynasty purposes for sure. I just want to like quantify what we have seen from him so far compared to some of these other tight ends and just say I don't think he has enough of the elite traits to belong in the same range as Colson Loveland, who again, I'll point you to that player profile if you want to dig into that a little bit more and think about that for yourself, because I do think there's a number of ways that Colson Loveland could get to that tight end one type of outcome. It is worth noting that he did have a really high target share for a rookie. So 20% target share rookies that we have all the way back to 2000. The only ones are Brock Bowers, Jeremy Shockey, who's sort of similar to Tyler Warren in some ways, statistically and in their frame a little bit. I think Shockey was a kind of bigger, rangier guy and was just more explosive as an athlete. I don't know if Warren has the type of upside that Shockey did, but you could dream that. You could kind of put him into that conversation. Maybe he develops into something like that. But coming in as an older rookie, it seems like we have a pretty good idea of who he is at this point. And so again, those 20% target share rookies were Bowers, Shockey, Warren, Laporta, Harold Fannin Jr., and Kyle Pitts just barely got there. I think it was 19.9%. The other two tight ends who stood out as sort of similar in terms of early career data and the way that they got there with like shorter area targets were David Njoku and Todd Heap. Both decent after the catch, especially Njoku. So they're sort of interesting careers to think about if you want to look for some ideas of what you might be getting from Warren. Neither of them ever pushed up into that like they're kind of capped in the 800-ish yard range as their ceiling. And I think that's about where we're probably capped with Warren, which is really good in the right situation. I do think his ability at the catch point could make him somebody who gets double-digit touchdowns. And so if you're getting that type of yardage, if you're pushing into the 700-800 yards with that type of touchdown potential, then that's how you get a really, really good fantasy season from him. And that's a real possibility for sure. And it's possible that I'm underrating him, but I wanted to do my best to make sure I wasn't. And as I dug into the film and the historical data, I think he's just a tier below these elite upside guys. Okay, before I leave here, I want to point you to this episode I just did with Ryan Heath and Dan Schneier. Ryan has been looking at every position and figuring out which stats have been predictive of future seasons scoring at that position. And then we look through that lens at the position and identify which tight ends, which running backs, which quarterbacks look good for this upcoming season. And Warren looks good. And especially, you know, with the vacated targets, with Michael Pittman gone and just not really replaced, like it's pretty easy to tell yourself a story where like, yeah, he's gonna have a good fantasy season. Why would he not? He was good in year one, he'll be good in year two. And I think that's fair. I just don't know how big of a win it's going to be. Because I don't know if he has elite yardage upside, and I don't know if the offense is going to produce a whole lot of touchdowns. I could be wrong on that. But I'm, you know, Daniel Jones coming off of the Achilles is enough to make anybody nervous, I think. So here's where I landed on Tyler Warren. I've got him at tight end 7 for fantasy drafts as of right now for the 2026 season. That's just ahead of Kyle Pitts and just behind Harold Fannin Jr. and Sam Laporta and Tucker Kraft. I think that there's a lot more upside with Kraft and Laporta in their offenses. I think him and Fannin and Pitts kind of project similarly, where they're probably fairly small win players, like because for Fannin, just such a cap on the ceiling with the offense. Like he has to do almost all of it on his own, and he could, but I just don't know if he could ever have more than like 8 touchdowns, 6, 7 touchdowns in this offense. And Warren's kind of, I see him kind of similarly too. And then Pitts is kind of the same way. I'm worried about his offense. I don't know if Drake London is healthy, if we're going to get the targets or yards that we would need either. So this range I'm kind of avoiding at the tight end position because I think you can find tight ends later. I like these three all right in terms of just kind of random shots at upside, and that's Aronda Gadsden, Isaiah Likely, and Dallas Goedert. And you can get them a lot later in drafts. So where you would typically be drafting Warren and Fannin and Pitts, I would prefer to just be swinging on wide receiver or running back. And so I'm typically looking to draft tight ends earlier or later. But for anybody who is invested in Warren, I definitely don't think anything from his rookie season is fluky. And I don't think he's that far behind some of the best young talents at the position. And just in general, I think he's probably one of the best tight ends in the NFL, point blank period, right now. So he'll probably just keep getting better. And I think he's a great player to have on your team for Dynasty. I'm not looking to like sell him necessarily. I do think that there are some players who, whether that's Kraft or Laporta, maybe are a little bit undervalued for various, you know, injury related reasons and might give you more upside. But Warren's as rock solid as it gets. Like he really is. So he's a great player to have. I think he's going to have a very productive career. To me, he's like the best version of somebody like Jake Ferguson, who's been one of the most productive fantasy tight ends recently, you know. These guys who can get on the field and be reliable for the quarterbacks and do a little bit with the ball in their hands, if the offense is good, can be very good for fantasy. And that's, I think we've got like kind of the best version of that right here with Warren, even if that isn't quite as exciting as some of these other tight ends. All right. Thanks for being here. Please do like the video, subscribe, leave me a comment if you think I'm too low on Warren for any reason. I'm trying to think through it from all angles for sure. So let me know if you think that's the case. And otherwise, I'll see you at the next video.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.